2 Kings chapter 19, verses 29 to 31, and Isaiah 37, verses 30 to 32. I concentrate on the 2 Kings 19 passage. God's Answer, Part 2. Let me remind you, Sennacherib, the tyrant king of Assyria, is threatening Jerusalem. He's at the gates, and he sent this letter, this taunting, sneering, threatening, tormenting letter to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah has spread it before the Lord in the temple, and God is answering through Isaiah. In part one of the answer, which we looked at in a previous discourse, we saw that God sent his own letter, as it were, back to Sennacherib. And now God is addressing Hezekiah. Let me read the passage to you, or at least part of it. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 29. This will be the sign for you, O Hezekiah. I will bring down Sennacherib. I will put a hook in his nose and take him back home. Now this will be the sign for you, O Hezekiah. This year you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that. But, and now what about? In the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. Let me pause there. God is giving a sign to Hezekiah. He's giving a promise, an assurance, a confident expectation. And not only to Hezekiah, but obviously to Judah through Hezekiah. This is what God is doing through Isaiah the prophet. Now, what is he saying here? Within 3 years, things will be back to normal. This is an agricultural society. This is its culture. This is its way. And within 3 years, things will be back to normal. This year, no, you will have to eat what grows by itself, self-sown stuff in the fields. You'll have to gather what you can. Even the second year, what springs from that. But within 3 years, in the third year, you will be back to normal farming, sowing and reaping, planting vineyards, and eating their fruit. In other words, peace will return to Jerusalem. Sennacherib will be taken away from the gates. Assyria will not conquer Judah. That is the promise. Prosperity will come back to Judah and Jerusalem, in the sense that peace will come back. And they will go back to their normal farming life. They won't be there fighting now and building walls and changing water courses and all the rest of it. They won't be fretting. They'll be back to their normal practice of sowing and reaping. Now, it won't be just a lack of fighting. Let me go on. Once more, a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. Seems to me that God is promising not merely peace in the sense of an absence of war, but a real time of fruitfulness and prosperity, taking root below and bearing fruit above. It's not just in agricultural terms, but in spiritual terms. Now, how will this happen? By chance? By luck? By fate? Nope. By Judah's power? Certainly not. By Hezekiah's clever schemes? No. By Hezekiah going to other nations and saying, now, how do you do it? Let's copy you. No, no, no. But by God's sovereign intervention. God's sovereign intervention, I say again. Look at it. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Sennacherib is a massive tyrant. He is victorious. He is cock-a-hoop. He has a huge army. He is well-stocked with weapons. Judah is weak, is threatened, but God is here making direct promises to Judah. And Hezekiah and Judah, these people, Hezekiah is called upon to believe this promise. He's called upon to believe what God is saying to him through the prophet, and so is Judah. Let us come into the new covenant, my brothers and sisters. Has not God given us exceedingly great and precious promises? Will we believe them? Do I believe them? I preach about them. I sing about them. I talk about them. I write about them. But do I really believe them? Do I trust in God? Humanly speaking, they seem impossible. Very often. But we're not talking humanly here. Hezekiah's got to stop thinking about human resources. Indeed, he has already, because he's gone to the temple, and Isaiah is speaking in the name of God to him. Can we not learn from this? Can we not believe God's word, the scripture, to us? Can we not trust in his promise? Brother and sister, what are you going through? Will you not believe the promise of God? Because there will be a promise just for your situation now. God is all-powerful. I know there are mighty forces in the world, but God is the only Almighty, and he will preserve his cause, and he will advance his cause. He will preserve his work in his own way, with his own methods, and he has revealed these things in his word, and he will advance his work, his gospel work, through his own power, the zeal of the Lord Almighty, the Spirit of the Lord, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not worldly, they're not pagan, they are spiritual, and they are mighty through God. They capture men's minds and hearts, and they bring them to Christ. Brother and sister, I say it to myself, I say it to you, will you believe? Will you believe and trust the promise? Will you believe and trust Christ in the promise? I hope you will. I hope I will. How vain it will be to preach upon this passage and go on in unbelief myself. And a word to any unbeliever listening to this. God has given you warnings, my friend, about everlasting damnation. Will you believe them? He has given you promises, exceeding great and precious promises, that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Will you believe them? I go further. Will you believe the Christ of these promises? Will you trust him? Will you cast yourself upon him and be saved? It's one thing to have the promises of God, you know. It's one thing to know the warnings, but it's to act upon them. Will you act upon them now? I urge you to, and come to Christ at once. But a final word to us believers once again. This is a word for us, my friend. It's not chance, luck, or fate. It's not our own power. It's not our clever schemes. It is the Lord. And let us rely upon him. Those who are against us are very powerful, but God is all-powerful. And may we go today and every day in that knowledge, in that persuasion, looking unto the Lord to perform his word. And keep his promise, for he will. He will abide faithful. Let us abide faithful today and every day, for Christ's sake. Amen.